Welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. My name is Beth Shank, a registered nurse in Montana and hosting today's podcast. Today, our guest is Diana Russell. And Diana has been a nurse executive and has retired from that role and is currently taking a more active role in climate leadership. So, of course, we were very interested to talk to her. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, your background as a nurse to start with.
So I graduated from the University of Iowa, and my first few years in clinical practice, I worked in critical care units and then moved to California, where I continued as a staff nurse in the public sector, worked in university hospitals, VA hospitals. And after about 8 years of that, I decided I wanted to go into management, that I felt that I really wanted to try to make things better for nursing and make some changes. So I started as a head nurse and then worked my way up. And as you said, I had about 25 years as a nurse executive, managing not only the nursing clinical programs, but in my last position, I was the chief clinical officer and managed all of the clinical programs in a community hospital, which I think is a very important role for nurses to broaden their perspective and their influence to bring all the clinical programs together. So I retired about 4 years ago because I wanted to be able to travel and spend more time with my grandchildren and to actually get involved in climate change and trying to make a difference there.
So how did that interest develop for you? Were you always interested in environmental issues? Did climate change particularly grab your interest? Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, I'm married to an atmospheric scientist whose work was studying climate change. For years, I listened to scientists sitting in my living room talking about the issues, talking about their concerns, the changes that they were seeing in their research. And it actually was, I would say, late in my nursing career when I really felt this was an area that I wanted to get more involved in, partly because I now had grandchildren and I wanted to be able to say that I had done whatever I could do to try to provide a livable world for them. And I just didn't feel that people were taking it seriously or that things were changing, and I needed to get more involved in that.
Interesting. And so did you particularly focus in on the health impacts or really a more broad approach?
I would say initially it was a more broad approach. I looked at organizations and decided that Citizens Climate Lobby was an organization that I liked their approach, which is really a nonpartisan approach, working with both sides of the aisle to try to get legislation on climate change. They're non-confrontational, and so it seemed like a good fit for me. And after joining that organization, then I became active in what's called the Health Action Team, which is a group of nurses, physicians, other allied health professionals that are members of CCL. And we worked primarily, I would say, in trying to communicate to other health professionals and to community members about the health impacts of climate change.
Terrific. I would imagine your nursing skills would come in handy there, not only because you understand the health impacts and physiologic issues, but also nurses are oftentimes considered good communicators, especially of complex data and information such as climate change. Have you found that to be the case?
I think that's true. And, you know, studies really show that nurses are highly respected, as are physicians. But I think it opens a door and it gives you that credibility to talk with community leaders and others that about the health impacts, because you are a nurse, you've seen the impacts in your community. And so I think it does give you credibility to talk with them.
So, but I also get the sense that the Citizens Climate Lobby is an advocacy group. Would you describe it that way?
Yes, I would say that we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan, grassroots advocacy group that is focused on federal legislation regarding climate change. We have about 100,000 members, volunteers. We have about 500 local chapters in almost every congressional district. And in addition, there are chapters in 43 other countries. So it's not just U.S. I would say Canada, Australia have a large number of CCL chapters and working towards climate change legislation in those countries.
Terrific. You mentioned before we started this conversation that you were working particularly on a carbon tax. Tell us about that. I don't know if nurses know a lot about that.
So the proposal that CCL is strongly supporting is called a carbon fee and dividend bill, and it would put a price on carbon at as high upstream as possible. So either at the port, at the well, or at the pump. That would start out at $15 a metric ton of CO2, and it would increase $10 every year, so it would be progressive. And then the money would be put into a fund because obviously the increased cost of that carbon is going to be passed on to consumers. So the money, the fees that are collected would be put into a fund with a very low administrative cost, and that money would be returned to all U.S. households as a monthly dividend. And it would help them protect themselves from the increased costs of the fossil fuels. As they lower their own fossil footprint and move to alternative energy or other savings, then they would actually come out ahead. And the studies that we have done have shown that 53% of all U.S. households would actually come out ahead after 10 years getting the monthly dividend. There would also, part of the bill is also that there would be border adjustments. So imports coming in would also be taxed unless that country itself had a carbon fee. Otherwise, there would be an incentive for companies to move out of the U.S. and move to other countries where there is not a carbon fee. So there is a border adjustment that would help protect U.S. industry.
And how many countries do have a similar scheme?
Actually, I don't know that I know the answer to that. There are a few. There are a few that have a carbon fee. A lot are looking at it. I think Canada, some provinces in Canada have it. There are states. Massachusetts just started a carbon, just passed, just I think last week, a carbon fee. So,
how is the argument going, or the pitch, I should say? Are you getting a lot of pushback? Do you have a lot of support? Do you have support from business?
We do have a lot of support from business and even from some of the oil companies who believe, like Exxon, that believe that a carbon fee is the right way to go. And that's partly because it's predictable, because they can plan out their strategy 5-10 years because they know exactly what that fee is going to be, as opposed to the cap and trade plan, which is another alternative, which actually is currently in California. But in that, every year, you never know from one year to the next what those allowances are going to cost. So a lot of companies really do like the carbon fee approach because they can anticipate what their costs are going to be for years out, and it really helps them do strategy planning. Mm-hmm. As far as we are very optimistic that there is increased awareness and increased support. And one example that we use is there is in the House of Representatives Climate Solutions Caucus that was started about 4 years ago by a Republican and a Democrat from Florida, because their city governments have become concerned about the sea level rise and the flooding that they were having, particularly around Miami. And so this Republican and this Democrat got together and they started this caucus. It's Cabello and Deutsch from Florida. And it's a bipartisan, so members had to join one Democrat and Republican together, so they're in pairs. And this group is looking at solutions, what would be solutions and bills that they could bring forward and propose. After 4 years, they're up to 78 members.
Wow.
So it has really grown rapidly. And again, that's equal. So it's 39 Democrats and 39 Republicans, because this is a nonpartisan issue. This is a global issue, and we need both sides to come together to help find the solution to this.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back a little bit to the actual dollar amount of $15. I'm glad to hear that there's increases every year and that it will be progressive. Can you give us any idea about how you landed on, or not you, but the planners, might be you, but on $15, and what will happen if over the next few years or sometime we decide it should be $100 or some much larger amount?
Well, I think that the cost, there was a group, obviously, that put this together and studied it, and I think they wanted something that would incentivize the companies to look to alternatives away from fossil fuels. That if they didn't make it high enough in a fee, then it would be inconsequential. But if they made it too high, then it would be too restrictive and there'd be a lot of pushback. So they tried to settle on this. There are other proposals that actually start lower than the 15 and go up. And there's actually another proposal by another group that starts higher than 15. I don't know exactly what's the right number that we need to settle on. I think it has to be a reasonable fee that does incentivize companies and people to move away from fossil fuels and to invest in other alternative clean energies.
Yeah. Do you know off the top of your head if this is similar to the scheme in British Columbia?
It is similar to the scheme in British Columbia, correct. Although I think the dividend there is not fully refunded to their citizens. In some plans, it's divided. Some of the dividend goes back to individuals, and some of the money is then put into investments into other alternative energy or other community resiliency programs. So I don't, and again, I think there are a variety of ways to look at it. We believe that in doing this, the market itself will adjust and that the market will then begin to invest. And we're already seeing a higher investment in wind and solar and moving in that direction. So we believe the market itself will adjust and the dividend should go back to individual households, particularly to protect the lower income individuals. And we actually have a study that we did. It's actually now about 4 years old. But at the time, it showed that 53% of all U.S. households would actually benefit from this, particularly the lower income, the elderly, and the ethnic population. So we think this is actually a good choice, and that the people who won't come out ahead or you know, won't make the money on this are the ones who actually can afford it, who have a larger carbon footprint and a higher income. And so they aren't going to be hurt too much by this. But the lower income people will really benefit from getting the dividend, because for a while that cost is going to be passed on to them.
Sure. Well, it sure makes sense that it would move business. I know that I work on healthcare sustainability, so at the hospital level. And I was speaking with a colleague in Vancouver who, because of their scheme, now their hospital has made the decision that if they avoid their particular carbon tax dollars, so if they do work that helps offset that dollar, they can use that money for their own sustainability work. So that's an internal decision, but that's motivated by that price.
Yes.
And I can see in the States that just having to pay a surcharge, that would be a big driver. I think it would help us push through, you know, a number of issues that we've been trying to argue for in terms of renewables and more efficiencies, just to avoid that additional cost.
I think that's true. I mean, I think hospitals, and even in my hospitals when I worked there, you know, we were doing things to decrease our carbon footprint, but the primary motivator was to decrease our costs, which is okay. I mean, I think that's fine, and I think that's a good approach for hospitals, and I'm glad to see more and more hospitals getting into sustainability programs and becoming a lot more active, whether it's to decrease their own cost or to improve the climate. I don't think it really matters. I think the important thing is that more and more hospitals are doing this work and looking for opportunities that they have to help their communities.
Yes, exactly. Well, it sure helps when the incentives are aligned so that we can both help our communities and save dollars at the same time.
That's right.
So tell me a bit more about, you said that you co-founded a local chapter. How did that go, and how does that go? Do you reach across whole communities or counties, or tell us about that on the groundwork?
So Yeah, we started a local chapter, and so it's about 5 years old now. It's still going very strong. We're growing. We continue to add new members. We're seeing a lot of young adults in the 20 to 30 age group starting to join, getting more concerned about this. Most of the local chapters take in maybe two small communities. It kind of depends on the population area that you're in. And we, at the local level, we meet with our community leaders. We write letters to the editor. We give presentations to community groups or nurses or physicians. And we also work with our congressional leaders. And so we do work with our House of Representative member and also our senators. And we meet with them on a regular basis when they are in district, and also at least twice a year we meet with them in Washington, D.C. To talk about our proposal and to gain their support and see what further actions we can take. We also have a fairly active group that's working with business leaders here in Silicon Valley. It's mostly all the high-tech leaders, getting them together and working to gain their support for our proposal.
I wanted to ask. I ask most people I interview this question, and it has to do with why is this a nursing issue? So, thinking of your career in nursing and all the nurses you've interacted with, whether it's in acute care or in the community, I mean, this seems like an obvious question, but we all bring different perspectives. So I'd just like to hear how you would describe that. If you were trying to tell someone about why climate change is a nursing issue, how would you describe that?
Well, I think, nurses have a strong role in being an advocate for their patients. And that's very true in whatever healthcare setting you're working with patients. We're really their advocate. To help them navigate the system, to help them see what they need to do and get the resources that they need to, in order to either maintain or improve their health. And I think it's the same thing with climate change. As nurses, we are advocates to our community, and our role is to really help community individuals understand the impact of climate change to their health, to their community, or globally. I think because we're seeing that some of these impacts aren't just now in your community and they aren't local, but global. And it's having an impact on all of us, whether it be droughts or fires or increased vector spread that, we're seeing because of the climate change. So I think our role is primarily helping to educate them and help them see, one, the impact to them or to their families, and two, help them see what actions they can take, what they can do to help bring about change that will provide a healthier community and a livable world for ourselves, for our children, and for our grandchildren.
Terrific. That's a great response. And that leads to my next question, and I think you sort of answered it in that question, but it's, you told us earlier how you started to get involved with this, and it was partly through hearing a lot of the science over the years and being connected to the future through your own grandchildren. A lot of times people at some point find this work kind of overwhelming or a little bit depressing or exhausting. And I just wondered if you had any tips to share either about your motivation or about what keeps you energized to do it.
Well, I would agree. It does. At times you think, oh, will we ever make a change? Will we ever get through? But then I think if we stop trying, then we definitely are not going to achieve anything. And I would really not want to have to look at my grandchildren down a few years from now and have them say, yeah, I just thought it was just too hard. I just keep at it. And so I think that's probably the one thing that keeps motivating me to keep trying, keep working, keep contacting, making that next call, contacting that next person, reaching out, trying to see if I can do a presentation, is that I need to keep saying I'm trying, because I do believe that we are really making progress. There was a study that Yale University just came out with in March of this year that showed that 73% of the registered voters do agree that global warming is happening, and 59% of the registered voters believe it's caused by human activity, and 63% are worried about it. And that's a big improvement from where it was just a few years ago. So I do think there is increased awareness. I think we are making progress. The issue is that time is running out, and we have really got to begin bringing down our carbon emissions sooner rather than later, because we are already seeing disruptive weather patterns. We're seeing changes in health patterns in our communities. We're seeing increased asthma and cardiac disease. So we really need to do as much as we can, as fast as we can, to try to get the word out and try to make the changes.
Yes, I certainly agree. And that leads to my next question, which you also sort of just answered, which is, what would you say to the world about this? I think you just delivered a nice message. And then in follow-up, what would you say specifically to nurses?
Well, to the world, I would say, pretty much the same thing, that, that we're seeing the changes. We can no longer deny that that climate change is not affecting our communities. And it's a global issue. I mean, we did just see, the hurricanes in Puerto Rico last year wiped out companies that provided IV bags to hospitals, and it created a huge shortage in the United States. So it's not just what's happening in your community. We have to be aware of what's happening globally and understand that these changes are real, that they're going to increase in severity, and that that we need action that will decrease carbon emissions, that pretty soon we're going to reach the tipping point. To nurses, I would say, you are a voice to the community. You are a voice to your patients. You are highly respected. You understand the health implications of climate change, and you yourself can be an advocate for change. Don't ever underestimate what you can do, either at your local level, at your local hospital, in your local health facility, in your community, or even getting involved in a national organization. We are a powerful voice. We are highly respected. I see that every time I walk into a congressional office and say I'm a nurse. They recognize the impact, one, that we have, and the close association that we have to our patients. So I would just say, if you're interested in this and you want to make a difference, this is a great opportunity.
Terrific. Thank you. That is a wonderful message. I don't know if you've had a chance, Diana, yet, and also our listeners, to see the Nurses Climate Challenge that was just launched in May of this year.
Yes, I was very excited to see that. I have signed up for that.
Oh, terrific.
And hope to, be part of educating nurses, because I do think that it's something that, one, usually is not covered in their academic setting, or usually not. And I think their lives are so busy in hospitals, they're maybe not focusing on this as much as they could. So I'm very excited about that opportunity to educate more nurses, because I do think once they understand the issues, they will get involved, and nurses do make changes. They do... They are change agents, no doubt.
That's right. And those of you who want to know more about that, you can go to nursesclimatechallenge.org. And that's also available through the ANI website. This is a project between the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments and Healthcare Without Harm, really led by Dr. Shanda Demarest. Another thing that a few of us are working on right now, I don't know if you've heard about this, is the CHANT tool. That's a tool to help measure what do nurses know about climate change, how concerned are they, and what are they doing. And the idea is really to mimic or to be a parallel tool to the Yale and George Mason Six Americas tool, which measures climate opinions and knowledge over time. So they've been doing this continuously, and then they analyze it periodically. After big events like an election, or before big events like the Paris meeting. And that's probably the data you quoted earlier about changes in public perception was probably out of that tool. So we decided we need actually a specific tool for nurses only because there's 4 million of us. And we want to drive the nursing voice about this because it's so important when it comes to health. So it's addressing particularly climate change and health, and it's aimed particularly at nurses. And right now we're in the second phase of testing. So anybody who would like to chime in on that survey, that's also available on the Alliance website, which is environ.org. So you could spread that word in some of your work, if you would, Diana. We will be coming out with the final version later this year, so we're still in the preliminary data collection.
Okay, certainly, I'll do that.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been really great to talk with you. What is there anything else that you'd like to say about any of this, or about work you're doing, or anything?
I would just encourage nurses to be involved, and we are leaders in our community. We're certainly leaders in our organization. And I think we sometimes underestimate the influence that we can have in making changes. So I would just say, find your passion and go for it.
That's great. Terrific. And thank you to you for all that you've done in your career and will continue to do in this now new career. I agree with you. It's really important. And if we're not acting on improving this, we are sort of part of the problem. So thank you. And it's nice to talk to you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And all of you who are listening, thank you for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. And please check us out at environ.org. And also please leave a review for us wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, and talk to you next time.